Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Mem Vav. We left off in daf Mem Hey on the base, four lines from the bottom of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored with Zuchus Refuah Shleima for Rabbi Kelmer Shlita Yehuda Ben Rivka Lea, Yishtav Refuah Shleima, Besoch Shar Chalisol. It's also sponsored by the outdoor minyan in Woodmere, known as the Church Avenue Minyan, Zuchus Refuah Shleima for our friends, neighbors, and members, Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh Rafael. The name was added, Rafael Benyita, who's currently in the ICU fighting COVID, and Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak Ben Taiva Rosa, who's also in the ICU. They should both have Rosh Lem B'soch Shar Chalisol. It's also sponsored anonymously in honor of Shapsi Schreier and Dr. Mark and Rosie Friedman. So we again left off in the bottom of Daf Mem Hey Amud Beis. So the first thing we're going to discuss is the last line of our Mishnah made some sort of connection between the pieces of dough that are in the cracks of a kli with regard to chimutz and with regard to tumah. So we have four different interpretations of what exactly that connection is. What is this v'chein that the Mishnah makes this equation between the halachos of chametz and the halachos of tumah? Then the first Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about dough that has turned white to signify that the beginning of the chimutz process has happened, but it has not yet developed cracks. So you're unsure whether there is actual chimutz, and it's going to lead to a discussion when we talk about the amount of time that it takes for dough to become chametz. That's going to lead to a discussion about how far a person has to travel in order to do certain mitzvos, in order to daven in the shul, and in order to do netilas yadayim. So three or four different things about a particular distance. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph and the Gemara that follows it are going to discuss three different approaches to the following dilemma. If somebody is making dough on Pesach, bitumah, so the dough is tameh, and you have to be mafresh challah, what do? How are you mafresh challah without violating the Yisra of chametz? Normally you'd be mafresh challah and you'd bake it right away. Problem is, you're not allowed to bake dough that nobody's allowed to eat. And if it's challah tameh, nobody's allowed to eat. Even a kohen's not allowed to eat challah tameh. So you can't bake it, but you can't just leave it there. If you leave it there, it's going to become chametz. So we're going to have three different approaches as to what to do. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss why a person is allowed to cook on Yom Tov for the Shabbos that follows Yom Tov. It's going to be the sugya of Hoil, that the principle of Hoil, the Miklay Yorchim, Chazile. So let's begin. Four lines on the bottom of the page. On Mem Hey and Beis, V'chein L'nyan Tumah Makbir Lav Chotzeitz Imrotz V'kimu Arehu Ka'areva. So says Gemara, wait a second, me dummy, how do you compare these two areas of halacha? The halacha of chametz, as far as the dough that's in the cracks of the kneading bowl, and the halacha of Tumah. Hasam B'shiura Tal Yemilsa. When it comes to chametz on Pesach, it all depends on whether you have a shir kezayis or not. You have a shir kezayis, it's a violation by your Rabbi Yimatzei. Pachos mikezayis is no violation. But hacha b'kpe to tell you milsa. But when it comes to tumah, the din of chatzitza, which is the pashas, what the Mishnah is talking about, is whether it's a chatzitza when you're tovel the kli, is the dough that's in the cracks a chatzitza in the tevila or not. That's all telling you whether you're makbid about it. It's a miut. So the question is, are you makbid or are you ain't no makbid? So what does that got to do with chametz, which is all telling you on how large it is, not telling you on your personal akpada? So the Gemara has four approaches to deal with this. With this question. Number one, Amrav Yehuda Ema, Ulin Yatoma Eino Kain. No, we are not making a comparison between the halachos of chametz and the halachos of tumah. We are making a contrast between the halachos of chametz and the halachos of tumah. It's saying that even though the amount of dough is going to be critical when determining its status as far as chametz is concerned, when it comes to tumah, Eino Kain. It has nothing to do with the amount. It has everything to do with your own hakpada. Amle Abaye says it's a wonderful idea. There's only one little problem. Ha v'chein l'inyan tuma katani. It doesn't say l'inyan tuma eino kein. In fact, it says quite the opposite. It says v'chein l'inyan tuma, which tells us that it is a comparison and not a contrast. And therefore, ella amar abaye, a second potential approach to how to deal with this. Hachi ka amar v'chein l'inyan tziruf tuma b'pesach. That when we say v'chein l'inyan tuma, what we mean to say is as far as the tziruf of the of tumah for Pesach. What does that mean? B'shayimus Hashana ikaplukta. There is a difference. There's a chilik whether you're makbid or not makbid throughout the rest of the year. And that's what we're saying in the Seifa, that if you're makbid on its chotzitz, if you're not makbid in its rotsu b'kiyumo, then it's like part of the bowl. Say, echidami, could go di ika pachus mi kabeitza ochlin, v'nagu b'ay batzek, that you have less than a kabeitza of food that touches this dough that has a kazayis, and all together, if pachus mi kabeitza plus the little bit of dough that's caught in the cracks of the bowl equal a kabeitza, so by Pesach, the Yisur of Chashuv on Pesach, where the Yisur of Chametz makes a kazayis of dough considered to be Chashuv, because it's the fact that it's Asur grants it a certain level of Chashivus, so then Mitztarev, then the dough in the bowl will be Mitztarev to the food that's Pachas Mikabeitza to be Mashlim the Shir Kabeitza, because you can't ignore that dough. That dough has a Chashivus to it. But B'Shayimos Hashanah, but when it's not Pesach time, so D'Bekpeidat Al Yemilsa, where the issue of whether it's able to be mitztarif with other food is totally tolerant on your own kepeda, so then in makbid love mitztarif, if it's something that you're makbid, you do not want that dough to stay in the kneading bowl, you're makbid about it, so then to you it's chashuv, to you it's important enough that you don't want it there, and therefore it'll be mitztarif with the pachs mi kebetza of ochlin to equal the shir kebetza. But in rotza b'kiyumo, so it's mitztarif, but in rotza b'kiyumo hareu kareva, if you're not makbid on it, you're very happy having this dough filling the cracks in your bowl, so then you're part of the bowl, and it's not mitztarev to any of the food that you might be putting into the bowl. So Abai is suggesting that the Mishnah means to say that just like a kazayis of dough is enough to cause a chametz problem on Pesach, and would require biur, a kazayis of dough on Pesach would be enough to combine with other foods, put in the kli, in order to make up the shear of a kabeitza that would make the food large enough to become tame. As we always mention, whenever we have shear kabeitza as far as food becoming tame, that is a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. What does that mean, a shear kabeitza? Shear kabeitza is necessary for a food to become tame, or is shear kabeitza necessary for a food to transmit tuma? So according to Rashi, a maichel is mekabel tuma, even if it's a kolshu to become tame, it just needs to be a kolshu. So over here, the inyan, the whole issue is it tame enough to be metame other things? However, Tosfos holds that it's only midrabanan that a maichel could be mekabel tuma bekolshu min haTorah. It needs to be a kabeitza in order to be mekabel tuma. So according to Tosfos, the inyan over here is but bein lekabel tuma bein letame acherim, is there a tziruf? So during other times of the year when the dough isn't inherently important, so whether it combines with other food to equal a kabeitza for tuma purposes is going to depend on whether the person would prefer that the dough not be there. It's going to depend completely on the person's hakpada. That is approach number two. So maskefla Rava. Rava says mikatani mitztarev v'chotzitz katani. How can that be an approach in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah doesn't say anything about siruf. It doesn't talk about the dough that's in the cracks of the bowl being mitztarev with some other food. Pachas mikabeitza. You're making all. It doesn't say that. You're adding more than ikra chasam in a sefer over here. All it says is chotzitz. Chotzitz implies that we're talking about something related to dinei chatzitza, not siruf for tumas ochlin. So Ella Amar Rava, a third possible approach in the Mishnah, v'chein lahalos tara la'areva. We're talking about being metaher the bowl when it has these pieces of dough stuck in the cracks. Hechidami, going to itmi achareva. The bowl became tamei uboilit bule, and now you want to bring it to the mikvah to be toivelit. So bePesach the isuru chashuv chotzitz. When it comes to Pesach, where the isur of a kazayis of a dough makes it chashuv that it's not going to be batel, so then it's going to be chotzitz v'lo sakla tvila. And therefore, the tevila is going to be invalid. But b'shayimos hashana, but throughout the rest of the year, b'kpeid the tali milsa, the din of the tevila is tali on your own hakpada. So you makbid alav chotzeitz v'mrosu b'kiyumo hareu k'areva. If you're makbid on it, then it's chotzeitz, and otherwise it's considered to be part of the bowl. So Rava suggests that the Mishnah means to say that if the dough is stuck in a tameh kli that requires tevila, a kazayis of dough would be significant enough on Pesach Pesach to be considered a chatzitza, because for Hilchos Pesach, a kezayis of dough is automatic chashivos, because you have to be mevayrit. But during other times of the year, that whether it's a chatzitza or not is going to depend on your own preferences, on your own hakpados. Do you want that dough there or not? So Maskara Papa, Rav Papa says, I challenge your answer as well, Rava. Mi katani v'chein linyan tahara ha'v'chein alinyan tuma katani. It doesn't say in the Mishnah v'chein linyan tahara. So while you're right, it does sound from the Mishnah that there's something about chatzitza over here, but it doesn't say v'chein linyan tahara. You're describing a tahara process. We're supposed to be describing a tuma process. So says the Gemara, a fourth possible answer. Ella amra Papa v'chein linyan lahorid tuma la'areva. The case is making the bowl itself tame. How does the dough play a role in making the bowl tame? Hechidami gondinaga sheretz by batzik. Case is, let's say you have a sheretz that touches only the dough that's in the cracks of the kli, but not the kli itself. So bePesach di suru chashuv chotzeit lo nachta latuma. According to on Pesach, when a kezayis of dough is automatically inherently significant on account of the isur chametz. So when a sheretz touched that dough, it was metame the dough. But that's got nothing to do with the bowl, because we view the dough as independent of the bowl, because the dough is so chashuv in its own right. So therefore, the bowl will remain tar. But bishar yimos hashana, but throughout the rest of the year, that whether you consider the dough to be part of the bowl or an independent entity is all dependent on whether you are makbid about it being there or not. So in makbid alav, if you're makbid on that dough and you're going to want to remove that dough, then chotzeitz, then it's going to prevent the tuma from being transmitted to the bowl. The sheretz didn't touch the bowl. The sheretz only touched the dough. The dough is separate from the bowl because you plan on removing that dough from the bowl. So the bowl is going to be fine. But if you're motzav kiyumo, but if you plan on leaving that dough in the bowl, in the cracks in the bowl, and it's just filling in all the cracks, and you're happy to leave it that way, and now it's become part of the bowl. Oh, so then, hareu kareva, then it's going to be part of the bowl, and the bowl is going to be tameh as well. So Rav Papa's explanation is that the Mishnah means to say that if there's a kezayis of dough stuck in the kli on Pesach, it's automatically viewed as distinct from the kli, and therefore if a sheretz touches the dough, the kli remains tahar. During the rest of the year, whether the dough is considered part of the kli or independent of the kli depends on whether you prefer the dough not to be there or you prefer the dough to stay there forever. Adkan. So now we get to the next Mishnah. Batzek a cheresh. Let's say you have a dough that is a cheresh, that it's unclear whether it's chametz or not. It's not obvious to you whether it was hichmetz. See, im yesh keyotzibo, if you have another dough that was kneaded at the same time, shehichmetz, and under the same conditions, that other dough has become chametz, hareza aser. Then you can assume that this dough that you're unsure about is also us. There are different shittos and rishonim what the lashon over here of batzik hacherish is. Why is the lashon of cherish? So Rashi writes that it's called cherish because just like a cherish has ears and it's not nicker if he's able to hear or not, so a person can't tell his nature and his das and what's going through his head. So too this dough is just it's difficult to interpret this dough. It's difficult to know what's going on with this dough. Or Rashi says some say, no, it's not betzik hacheresh, it's hacheres. It's like a piece of pottery that's hard like pottery, so it's not nicker that it was hichmetz. The Rambam in the Perusha Mishnayis and also in Hilchos Chametz Matzah says that when you pound on the dough, it's not mashmiya kol, it doesn't make any noise, like a cheresh that doesn't answer when you call him. So if it was mashmiya kol, that would be a sign that it was hichmetz. So Rambam tells us that's a simin of chimutz, is that when you smack the dough, that it makes a louder sound than a dough that was not hichmetz. So that's how the Rambam explains this word. But that's just a matter of explaining why we call it that. But there's no discussion, there's no debate as to what it is. It means a dough that you're not sure if it's chametz or not. So yemein sham keyotze bo mahu. Okay, so the Mishnah told us, no problem, just look at your other dough that you needed at the same time, and then you'll be able to tell. Great, what if I didn't need any other dough at the same time? This is the only one I've got. How do I know if it became chametz or not? So then it's the amount of, if the dough sat there for the amount of time that it takes to go from Migdal Nunya to Tveria, which is one meal, then you could assume that it became Tameh. Then Dafka, if you left it, the Rambam points out in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, that's only if you left it unaggravated. You didn't do anything to it, you didn't continue to work on it, but as long as the dough keeps getting worked on, it's never going to be, it's never going to become Chametz. Chametz happens when the dough is left alone. The Mishnah Berurah just points out that that's normally true, but if you're pounding one side of the dough and the other side is not being touched, I mean, that's only if you're working the entire dough. But if you're just banging on one side of the dough and the other side is not going to be touched, so then that's not going to prevent the chimutz from happening. The Ritva disagrees with the whole premise. The Ritva holds, even if you're misasik in it, you always have to assume that if a meal has passed, if a time of a meal has passed, then it's going to be usher. So says Gemara, wait a second, you want to tell me an amount of time? So a meal is 2,000 amos, right? So tell me the name of a meal. Just tell me a meal. Why do you have to give me this? If you go from Migdal Nunya to Tveria, you have to make such a complicated cheshbon. So says Gemara, hakamashmalan, the shira de meal can be Migdal Nunya via Tveria. Yeah, what are we going to tell you? 2,000 amos? How big is an ama? Right? So from here to here, from here to here, on who? On me? On you? And there are different shitos. How big an ama is? Is it 24 inches? Is it 18 inches? Is it 21 and a half inches? All these different shitos. So if there was a known location that you could measure what alpayim ama is, so the Gemara used that as the siman to be able to measure. There is a discussion in poskim if this is true of all kinds of matzah, nogea to celiacs. The Magen Avraham writes that from the Torah it's mashma that even though mikra din you could soak chitim, you're not allowed to soak saorim because saorim are memarim lahachmitz. They become chametz more quickly than chitim. So he says even though that a ma'at roke of achbarim is not going to be machmitz, that's only by chitim, but by saorim, which is memar lahachmitz, you have to be machmir for even an amount of liquid that you would think would not create a chimutz process with chitim. You have to be more on guard with saorim. So what the Magen Avraham is telling us is that saorim, the chimutz process of saorim is a more rapid process. It's a quicker process than the chimutz process of chitim. So comes along Dayan Weiss in the Minchas Yitzchak and in Shuvas Minchas Yitzchak Chelik Tesim Mem Tes, and he says you have to do Kol Titztaki Sheba Olam. You have to do whatever you can to make matzah only from chitim, because you don't know the shear of chimutz by anything else other than chitim. Meaning what you see from this Magen Avraham is that this idea of a meal, the idea of 18 minutes, is only a din by chitim. How long is it by sorim? I don't know. So if you're going to make barley matzah, you're going to make spelt matzah, you're going to make matzah out of other things, you don't know how long it's going to take to become chametz, and therefore the minhag has always been that we use chitim for matzah. So that's what you should always do. However, it comes along the tshuvas cheshav ha'efo, and he says, since our sugya tells us that the shir chimutz is a meal, and it doesn't say any distinction, the our Gemara didn't mention chitim. Our Gemara just said the shir of chimutz is a meal. It didn't start talking about is it chitim, is it saorim, is it this or is it that? And Magen Avraham doesn't say explicitly about the shir of how much time unaggravated the dough will become chametz. It doesn't make any distinction between chitim and saorim. So Minchas Yitzchak, I understand, is logical extension that with regard to other halachos, the chimutz might happen more quickly. With regard to other steps in the process, the chimutz might happen more quickly when it comes to saorim than when it comes to chitim. But it sounds from our Gemara that the shir is a meal regardless. And other achronim also point out that even the Minchas Yitzchak, clearly what he means to say, Minchas Yitzchak didn't live that long ago, a couple of decades ago, but what Minchas Yitzchak means to say is that it shouldn't be a shtick for people. You know, that if you're not celiac and you don't have any problems digesting wheat, so it's a shtick that I'll have this kind of matzah, that kind of matzah. There's a reason we have matzahs the way we always had matzahs. So you should have your wheat matzah. But obviously, if a person has some sort of stomach problem or some sort of other issue where he's unable to eat chitim, so then as long as you're very careful to make the dough very quickly, and to bake it very quickly, then a person can have other grains as well. But that's the ha'ara that the Minchas Yitzchak has based on that Magen Avram. So now, says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yavo, Amr Rabbi Shimon Lakish, L'gabal l'tfila l'netilis yadayim arba amilin. Once we tell us one thing that Rabbi Yavo says the name of Rabbi Shimon Lakish, right, because it was Rabbi Yavo or Rabbi Shimon Lakish who told us the sheer meal that it takes for the dough to become chametz, so he tells us three other things that the shear is going to be four milin. So when it comes to legabel, what does that mean? If you were hired to make dough for somebody b'tahara, and the kalim that you were provided with are temeim, so you don't have a mikveh right there, how far do you have to travel to bring the kalim to a mikveh in order to make the dough b'tahara? So that's four mil. Litfila, if you're traveling and it comes time to daven, and you'd like to rest and stop traveling, but there's no Beis HaKnesses where you are right now, so you could you travel up to four mil in order to find a Beis HaKnesses. That's how Rashi writes. Beis HaKnesses meaning a minion. So Tosos quotes in the name of the Aruch that it means to wash your hands prior to Tefillah. That's how far you have to travel. Meaning Tefillah means since you need a Netilah before Tefillah, so how far do you have to travel to find water to wash your hands before Tefillah? Tosos in Maseches Chulin quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, and Rabbeinu David over here quotes it as well. Then no, it means a Tefillah Ezra. How far do you have to travel to go to the mikveh before davening? And Rabbeinu David doesn't like that. He suggests a different possibility, that tefillah means to if a person needs to go to the bathroom and he has to daven. So the Gemara in Brachos Dav Chav Gimel tells us that if you could hold it in for long enough to go arba mil, then tefillah so tefillah. But otherwise, tefillah so toeva. So we're not talking about someone who's actually traveling. We're talking about how close of access someone has. Not how close access. How long a person can hold himself in before having to use the bathroom. But over here, when we talk about going l'tefillah, so again, Rashi over here writes to go to a Beis HaKnesses. So there's a machlokes achronim what Rashi means by that. Go to a Beis HaKnesses where there's a minyan, or go to a Beis HaKnesses stam. That let's say there's a Beis HaKnesses there, but there's not going to be a minyan there. So that's l'chora tali in a machlokes rishonim in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that ein tefillah shel adam nishma'as ella be Beis HaKnesses. That a person's tefillah is only nishma, is only heard in a Beis HaKnesses. So some of the Rishonim, the Tur, for example, writes, that means Beis HaKnesses with a tzibur. It means if there's a minyan in the Beis HaKnesses. However, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, in the back of Maseches Brachos, writes that there's a maila of tefillah be Beis HaKnesses, even if there isn't a minyan present. In fact, Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that it might even be that that's a greater maila than a minyan. Davening in a makum kadosh of a Beis HaKnesses might even be a greater maila. We don't pass in that way. We pass in a minyan is a greater maila, but Beis HaKnesses we pass in is certainly a maila. That's why a lot of times people think it's just the rabbis that are trying to stop people from having house minyan because they're trying to maintain control and power or whatever. Maybe. It could be that that's what they're trying. But that doesn't change the fact that davening in a Beis HaKnesses is definitely a higher level of tefillah. Objectively, it's a higher level of tefillah. Ein tefillah sod nishmas ella be Beis HaKnesses. The way the Rabbeinu Yonah understands is pashtus what the Gemara says, that it's in a Beis HaKnesses. That's the maila of tefillah. So anyway, so that's perhaps what it's talking about. It may also relate to whether it's talking about a minyan or not. It may relate to whether minyan is a chiyuv. Rav Meisha has a tshuva, or Rav Meisha writes that davening with the tzibur is a chiyuv. Why then don't you have to travel more than four milin? Because there's always a gvul of how much do you have to do in order to fulfill a mitzvah. But nevertheless, it's considered to be a chiyuv. The Emek Bracha writes that minyan is not a chiyuv. It's like the way Rav Shechter refers to the Emek Bracha. It's like they're like the icing on the cake. It's the cherry on the top. Meaning if you're going to have a tefillah, make the tefillah really, really geschmack, so you daven with a minyan. But not that it's a chiyuv. It's like more of a hidur in a proper tefillah. Okay, so says Gemara Vaitina. Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Ivo Amara, that it wasn't Rabbi Avo that said this in the name of Rabbi Shimon Lakish, it was Ivo that said it. So that's correction number one. Var ba'a Amar ba. And the other thing he got wrong is that there's a fourth halacha that relates to this inyan of Dalin Milin. V'chadim in Ayu, what is the fourth halacha? Ibud. It's as far as working a hide of an animal that to the point that you were ma'abided enough that it now has a din of basar and it could become tameh. Ditznan, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Chulin, the kulon she'ibdan. If you take an or, if you take a hide that the chachamim identify over there that are ma'tameh kibasar because they're very soft and it was normal to eat these skins, so if you're ma'abid them, oh shehilich ben kidei avoda, or people are trampling on them, the amount of time that would take to have an ibud work on these hides, then tahorin, then they are tahor. Chutz me arha adam, except for arha adam, that even after you're ma'abid, it's still going to be tameh. V'kama kidei avoda, how much is kidei avoda? Amar Rabbi Aivo, Amar Rabbi Yanai, kidei hiluch arba amilin. That's the amount of time that's arba amilin. Minat Torah, the arha adam is really going to be tahor. The Gemara in Chulin Kuf Chav Beis tells us that there were gozer tuma on arha adam because they were afraid shema yasa adam oros aviv v'imo shatichim, that a person might take the oros of his own parents and make carpets or mats out of them, and that would be a terrible thing to do. So therefore, there were gozer tuma. You don't want that tuma around your house. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yosef. I don't know how common a problem that was. Normally, the chum are not gozer something unless it's something that's common. Milslo shchichalo gozer be rabbanon. Okay, so that's for when we learn chulin again. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Chanina. Lo shanu ela lefanav. Avil yachrav afilu mil eno chozer. This whole din of dalin milin is only when you're traveling forward, that I'm going to have to go that way anyway. So how much further do I have to go today in order to make sure that I get there to daven for Netilas Yadayim or for whatever? But if it's about going backwards, it's about going out of my way, so then one meal is all you need to, even one meal, you don't have to be chozer. So Amar Rav Acha Umina, from the fact that he says you don't have to be chozer one meal, milu deino chozer, hapachs mil chozer. The clear impression that you get is, yes, you don't have to be chozer a full meal, but pachos mi meal, you should be chozer. That if it's anything less than one meal, a person should certainly be chozer. And what if you're not traveling forward and you're just sitting in one place? You're at home. So how far do you have to? You checked into a hotel. You're out of town. You checked into a hotel, and the closest shul is, I don't know, 3 meal away. So do you have to go? Meaning to go backwards, so that that's a real tircha, to go backwards, to go out of your way. But so that it would be up until a meal. To go forwards, up until 4 meal. So Rav Meisha discusses that in Orchaim Chelik Pei Simchav Zayin, that this is a suffix in the poskim. Magen Avraham and Simchav Samach Gimel raises the suffix. Prima Gadam and Chayyadam and other Achronim say that if Yoshev Bebeso, you don't have to be Tarech Achramayim Ela Ad Mil, just like La Achorav. And it's very mistaver that way, because La Achorav, the idea is that it's traveling that you wouldn't be doing, so it's out of your way. If you're home, it's also traveling that you wouldn't be doing. You'd be staying home. You wouldn't be going anywhere. So how much does a person have to go out of his way in order to be able to find a minyan? Pashtus is that this is more time dependent than it is distance dependent. That even though a meal is alpayimama, right? So nowadays, if you don't have a shul within alpayimama, so you're never going to go to shul because you don't have to for tefillah. You don't have to go more than alpayimama during the week. I mean, you get in a car, it will take you like less than a minute to go alpayimama if there are no traffic lights, depending on the speed limit, right? You can get there very, very quickly. So pashtus is this is more time dependent than it is distance dependent, although poskim discuss that as well. Okay, new Mishnah now at the bottom of the page on Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Ketzem Rafish and Chala Batumah. So the Mishnah discusses, what do I do when I want to be mafresh challah, making more matzah on Pesach, and I want to be mafresh challah? Problem is that my matzah is tameh. Everything in the dough is going to be tameh. There's nothing inherently wrong with having dough that's tameh. I'm allowed to eat chulin bitumah. There's nothing wrong with that. Problem is, if I'm mafresh challah, normally that challah is a din of truma, and it goes to a kohen. Now the halach is, truma tameh cannot be eaten. It cannot be eaten by anybody. That's one of the reasons that we don't give challah to a kohen anymore. We assume that everything is tameh. We're all tameh mesim, so our doughs are all tameh, so the kohen would not be allowed to eat the challah. Even if we had a kohen miyuchas that we were so confident about, the kohen would not be allowed to eat the challah. So what do I do on Pesach? So normally I know what I do. I take it, I burn it, or even if I can't burn it, at least just leave it aside. I can't do that on Pesach. If I leave it aside, it's going to become chametz. If I try to bake it, I try to put it in the oven, I'm not allowed to do that either. It's a malacha d'oraisa. You're not allowed to bake on Yantav. You're only allowed to bake on Yantav for Ochal Nefesh, because someone can eat it. But if no one's allowed to eat it, then it's if no one's going to be able to eat it, then it's also to bake on Yantav. So Kesem Refreshin Chala Betuma. So Biyomtov. Rabbi Elazar Omer Lo Tikru Lashem Atshatiyafas. Rabbi Eliezer's suggestion is just don't call it Chala until after everything is baked. Meaning, normally it's a Bidiyavit. You're supposed to be Mafresh while it's still in dough form, and then you bake all of your Chalas. But every once in a while, every rabbi gets that phone call. A woman is frantic. She thought she separated challah. She got a phone call. She was at, and now all of her challahs came out of the oven. And now what should she do? All the challahs are baked. Are they all ruined because she wasn't mafresh challah? So no, you make a tzir of kli and you put them all together and you're mafresh challah from one of them. They don't like a lot of women don't like that answer. What do you mean? Then it's not going to be a shalim anymore. Then I'm not going to be able to use it for lechemish. Okay, you know, but you'll save all the rest of them. So you cut off one end of one challah, and you're mafresh challah. So that's suggestion number one. Bake it, and then be mafresh challah. And then while you're baking it, it is for the purpose of eating that dough. Ben Becerra has a second suggestion. Tatil betzonin, put it in cold water. If you put it in cold water, that's going to stunt the chimutz process. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shua says that if that lo zeu chamish musar levali rabbi matzeh, a third suggestion, it's not a problem. Leave it be. I will become chametz. It's not your chametz. It belongs to Shevet Kehuna. The Torah tells us lo yira l'cha sa'or, that l'cha yataroa. And as we dashed earlier in the Masechta, avalataroa shal acherim v'shal gavoa. You don't have to worry. You're allowed to have, as long as you're not mekabel achrayus for other people's chametz, then you don't have a problem. That's what Pnei Yeshua points out, that it's not considered that the chametz of the kohen is mufka, that's low, that it's a pikadon by you, and you're going to be chayiv, just like we learned in Daf Hey, that there's a chiyuv when you take something as a pikadon, because you were never mekabel achrayus on it. So if you're not mekabel achrayus on it, so then it's not going to be a problem. So that is the third approach. Ela mafrishas minichas ad erev, just leave it aside until Motzei Yom Tov, and then you'll burn it. V'mechmitz, and if it becomes chametz, no, so it becomes chametz. That's not going to be the end of the world if it becomes chametz. So these are the three suggestions of what to do. So this second suggestion that Ben Becerra says, to be tatil betzonin, that if you put it in cold water, that will prevent the chimutz. Rav Meisha was asked, Rav Meisha is a tshuva in Arachayim Chel Gimel, Simen Nun Tes, what if you make a dough and you put it in the freezer right away? Does that also prevent the chimutz, right? If you make a dough and just right away freeze it, do you say that it's not machmitz, just like putting it in cold water? So he says, Mipashtos, from the Lashon Rishonim in our sugya, it seems that the coldness itself does in fact prevent chimutz. But, he says, it could be that dafka mayim, which is monea the chimutz because of the coldness of the water, but cold without water maybe is not monea the chimutz. And he says it's a machlokas haposkim from earlier generations when it comes to the halacha of frozen meat that went 3 days without melicha. Can you rely on that? And many of the poskim, the prima gadim and the pischi tshuva, were machmir about this issue. So Rav Meisha makes a tzushtel. He says the same is going to apply over here when it comes to chametz. I mean, the halacha is that you need to do melicha within a certain amount of time in order to salt out the blood that's in the meat. If you leave the meat for 3 days without doing melicha, too late. There's no way to kasher that meat. You could roast it, but there's no way to kasher that meat for cooking if you didn't do melicha within 3 days. What if they freeze the meat right away? So this was something that was commonly done when they would do shechita in South America and they want the meat to come into Israel. So by the time it gets on the boat or whatever, so sometimes they would rely on such things that they would freeze it and do the melicha later on. So that's a major machlok saposkim, and it's not so pashut that it works. Or Meisha says maybe the same thing applies over here. Other achronim, the Chelkas Yaakov writes that the Magen Avraham points out, the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach writes that putting a petzonin is only if it hasn't even been maschil lahachmitz. The chimutz process has not even begun, and therefore he says we should really ask for this beisur gamur, because you don't know, maybe the chimutz process has already begun, and therefore we should not be freezing doughs and relying on the fact that it's cold and therefore not becoming chametz. Okay, so says the Gemara now, what is this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, right, about challah shel chametz? According to Rabbi Eliezer, you cannot allow it to become chametz. You got to do something else. So that's why Rabbi Eliezer said that bake it and then be mafresh challah afterwards. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua says, no problem, let it become chametz. It's not your problem anyway. So what are they arguing about, whether you can allow the chametz challah to become chametz. So lema betovas hana'ah kamiflagi. Maybe they're arguing about the nature of tovas hana'ah. Tovas hana'ah is the right of the Israel to give his truma to whichever kohen he wants to give it to. Now kohanim are not allowed to buy the truma. They're not allowed to pay you even below market value for the truma, but you have the right to choose whichever kohen you want to give it to. The reason that kohanim get truma in the first place and levim get meiser is because the kohanim and the levim were not farmers. They were not involved in agriculture. Their job was to be the lamdei Torah and the melamdei tinokos, and therefore they needed to be supported. So Pashto says you'd want to give it to a kohen who's a talmud chacham. Now you can't give him too much. If everyone is giving it to the same talmud chacham, then he's going to have nothing to do with it. He's going to have to make a business of in selling it, and it's also to do schora with truma. So you can't do that either. But you have the right. You have this allowance of a tovas hana. That's by the way the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yom Perek Yud Gimel Alach Yud Gimel, when the Rambam writes that lo shevet Levi b'lvad. It's a much celebrated Rambam. Everyone loves that. That it's not only shevet Levi that could dedicate themselves to Torah. That anybody who wants to dedicate themselves to Torah can also become a gadol b'Torah and can be able to accomplish things. It's true. That's absolutely true what the Rambam says. But the context is lo shevet Levi b'lvad. That really it's shevet Levi's job. Meaning that's what shevet Levi is for. So that's why they get this truma. So anyway, so maybe they're arguing about this right that you have to choose whichever kohen you want to give it to. Is that something? And you can get paid for that, just not by the kohen. Meaning, let's say someone, a Yisrael, comes over to you and says, I'd really love it if you gave it to my grandchildren, they're kohanim, and he gave you a little bit of money. So that you're allowed to take money for that. That's tovas hana'ah. So is that considered to be a monetary holding that you have? To Rabbi Eliezer, sover tovas hana'ah mamon. Rabbi Eliezer says, it is mamon. That's real ownership. And therefore, the ownership of that challah is real ownership, and it's going to be a violation of Bali Rabbi Yimatze if it becomes chametz. Rabbi Shua sover tovas hana'ah ain't a mamon. Rabbi Shua says, nah, tovas hana'ah is not mamon. And therefore, if the challah becomes chametz, it's not a violation of Bal Yira'ah. That's the first suggestion of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, lo. Maybe that's not the correct interpretation of this machlokas. Maybe to kulei alma savri, tovas hana'ah ain't a mamon. Everyone else that tovas hana'ah is not considered to be my mamon. Maybe the machlokas over here, and this is going to open up this sugya called ho'il, that since there's a possibility of doing something else to get me out of the problem, the blood of Sever Armin and Holy by Yitzhalala, that since if I want, I could be Shoel on my Hafrasha, and the Chachamim will be Oker, the Hafrasha that I did, and the Chala will go back to be Tevel that belongs to the Israel, Mamonehu. It's the Chala is considered to be my Mamon, even though they were not Shoel on the Hafrasha, but since they could have been, it would be my Mamon, and therefore I'm in violation of Bal Yirah by Yimatzeh. So, don't be korei shame on the challah and leave it there to become chametz. You should bake it and then be marfish challah afterwards. Rabbi Shua Savar, lo amrin hol. Rabbi Shua says we don't say hoil. The challah is not considered your mamon after your marfish it to violate bali rabbi yimatzeh, and therefore you could be korei shame on the challah. Let it become chametz because we're not going to apply this principle of hoil. Now this principle of hoil, as we're using it over here, means that since I could be shoel on the afrasha, that is actually halach, meaning everyone agrees to that. You can undo a hafrasha if you're shoel. You go to a beis din, and just like a hataras nedarim, you could undo a commitment to do a hafrasha. Once I had such a shaila, I got a call on a Thursday evening from someone who has a friend who's a baker in Eretz Yisrael, and the baker was mafresh challah, and it was Thursday night. He was baking all of the challahs for Shabbos, and he was going to sell in his bakery on Friday. So he was mafresh challah in the bakery, and something went wrong. He made a mistake, and he put the piece that he was mafresh right back into the dough, and he made all of his challah. So now his whole schayra for the whole week has challah medumas in the dough that he's baking. So what should he do? So the pasha thing. So why is he calling a rabbi in America? Because it's 2 a.m. in Eretz Yisrael. So who's he going to call in Eretz Yisrael? He's baking through the night. So he wants to. So he figured it better to call a rabbi in America. So as it turns out, the right thing to do is probably to be shoel and then do a new afrasha. But in order to be shoel, you need to get some rabbis there to do the shoel. Okay, now we'd have a shaila. Can you do it on Aliday Zoom in America? But that time, so you had to wake up the local Rosh Yeshiva and a couple of other rabbanim, and that's what they did. They were shoel and afrasha. So okay, itmar ha'ofe miyom tov l'chol. So once we're on the topic of ha'wil, so the Gemara tells us if a person bakes on yom tov for a weekday, Rav Chista Marloker, Rav Chista says it's a malachadar rice. maisa you get malchus for, because it's not a melechas ochel nefesh for yantiv, and therefore you can get malchus. Whereas Rabba Amar ain't a look. Rabba says you don't get malchus. What's behind each shita? Rav Chis Amar lo kalor minu holu mekloy le'archum chazile. Rav Chis says you get malchus. We do not apply the principle of hoil, that since if guests were to come, I'd have a use for this food, I'd be able to give it to them, and they'd have what to eat. So maybe that's considered a tzorech of yomtov. We don't say no, that we can imagine hoil. There is some way that you can imagine the tzorech of yomtov that this is called ochel nefesh. Whereas Rabba Amar ain't a loka amrina hoil. Rabba says yes, we do use our imagination in that way. Since there is some way that whatever I'm cooking right now, even though I'm cooking it because I'm going to be busy this whole week and I want to be able to have food for dinner without having to worry about cooking for the whole week, but if guests were to come right now, I'd have use for the food on Yantif, so therefore I'm not going to be Chayv Malkus. There's not going to be an Isra Doraisa of baking or cooking this food on Yantif. So Amalei Rabba L'Rav Chista. So Rabba said to Rav Chista, according to me that I say Hoil, I understand that you're allowed to bake on Yomtov for a Shabbos that follows Yomtov, because you could technically eat it on Yomtov if guests were to come. But L'didach, Damrit Lo Amin and Hoil, according to you that we don't apply the principle of Hoil, Heichof and Yomtov L'Shabbos, how do you ever bake when Yomtov falls out on Friday? How are you allowed to bake on Yomtov for Shabbos? Samalei, Mishomei Ruvi Tavshilin. What do you mean, how are you allowed to bake? That's why we have an Erev Tavshilin, in order to allow you to bake. So he says, wait, but you just told me you get Malkus if you bake on Yomtov for a different day. If there's an Issa Daraisa to bake on Yom Tov for another day, and Erev Tavshilin is magically going to make the Issa disappear, how does that possibly work? So Amalei, so Rav Chista explained, Midaraisa Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim Yom Tov. Really, on a Daraisa level, you're right that you're not allowed to bake on Yom Tov for a weekday, but on a Daraisa level, you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov for a Shabbos, because Yom Tov is also called Shabbos by the Torah, and therefore it's considered to be Kedusha Achas. It's like baking on Yom Tov for Yom Tov. For Rabbanan Udugazurbe, the Rabbanan were just goes there not to bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos, Gzeirish, and Yomru, open Yom Tov Aflechol, that people might get confused and they're going to think, oh, if I can bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, I'm also allowed to bake from Yom Tov to Chol. Vekivan Tatsruchur, Rabbanan, Eruve Tavshilin, Isle Akera. And since the Rabbanan require an Erev Tavshilin, then you'll remember that it's different, that you're not allowed to bake on Yom Tov to Chol, and that this is a special din for Shabbos. Now, the mechanics of an Erev Tavshilin, how that works is a machlokas Rava and Ravashi. The Gemara over here seems to assume like one side because it calls it Hekera, but Rava says that the reason of the Takan of Erev Tavshilin is Kadei Sheyivra Mani Yafal Shabbos Mani Yafal Yom Tov, that you make one thing in advance that's Dafka for Shabbos. So you begin the Hachanos of Shabbos from Erev Yom Tov, and then you're not going to forget the Shabbos because of the Tirda of Yom Tov, and you'll make sure that you have a Mani Yafa for Shabbos as well. As Rav Ashi says, it's Kedei Sheyomru Einov Miyom Tov L'Shabbos Kal V'Chomer Miyom Tov L'Chol. It's to create this hacker that people will say, wait a second, I'm not even really allowed to bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, then it must be Kal V'Chomer, I must really not be allowed to bake from a Yom Tov to a weekday. So that's what the Gemara seems to be assuming over here, but that's the Machlokas we have in Maseches Beitza. So Eisvei, so now Rabba challenges Rav Chista. It says in the Mishnah Beitza Daf Chav Hey, Behema Mesukenes. If you have an animal that's very ill and is about to die, and if you leave it to die, it's going to be in a veil, you're going to have no use for it. But if you shecht it, then you'll have meat. But you're not so hungry, right? So, and it's yantif. So lo yishchot el kadesh yachal echle men kazayis sli mi bod yom. You're only allowed to shecht it on yantif if you would be able to get a kazayis of roasted meat. We'd have to say roasted meat, because then you don't have to wait to do malicha and everything else. You could just roast it. Only if you're mevashal meat, you need to do malicha. If you're roasted, you don't need melicha. So kazayis of roasted meat before Yom Tov ends. So yachal echal afal gav dlo boy lemechal. Apparently, as long as you're able to get a kazayis of roasted meat out of it, even though you have no plans of eating a kazayis of roasted meat. So bishlam the damri hoel holvi by lemechal matziachil mishamachi yishkot. So according to me, that fits great because I hold to the principle of hoel. Hoel that if you wanted a kazayis of meat, you can get it, even though you're not going to actually eat a kazayis of meat. It's okay. El didach. But according to you, damri lo amin hoel that you were reject the entire principle of Hawil, Amay Yishchot. Why do they allow you to shecht it? It's a shechita shelo l'tzorich Yom Tov. You should not be allowed to shecht the meat. So Amalei, Misham Hefsin Mamono. We allow you to do it because of Hefsin Mamono. You're going to lose the whole animal. So it says, Misham Hefsin Mamono, Sharin Nisur Daraisa. Okay, no, sometimes being a Jew requires Hefsin Mamono, requires spending money. Kosher food's more expensive than non-kosher food also. So you can't do malacha just because of Hefsin Mamono. So Amalei, in. You're right. The heter is meaning really the heter is mishum hefsun mono. Mishum hefsun mono gamra b'libo lechol kazayis v'yef shal kazayis basar below shchita. No, it's not that hefsun mono is matzah the iser. It's that because you realize that your only other option is losing the entire animal, you will commit to actually eat a kazayis. It's not about ho'il that maybe you will. You will commit to actually eat a kazayis, and the only way to eat a kazayis of the basar is by shechting the animal. Right? There's not like a half a shchita that you can do. So you have to do the whole shechita on the whole big cow just to be able to get a kazayis of basar out of it. Okay, we'll bring further rayas in this discussion of ho'il, starting with Esvei Be'ezras Hashem tomorrow. Have a good day. Have a good day. Pleasure. Thank you.